It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. That includes some NFL nuggets. At 2:30, why does July 28th matter? Water parks, for one. In a mere minutes, Simone Biles pulls out of the Olympics altogether, I believe. And we have an unfortunate update from the world of music. A legendary figure passes on. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three does start with a little sadness in the world of music. A couple different listeners sending this our way. We appreciate it. Obviously, we get in the middle of a show. We're talking a lot of different things, and sometimes we do miss these stories, but social media always keeping up with it. So the rest in peace today, and I'm seeing this tweeted about 20 minutes ago from Eddie Trunk, who's very connected to the music industry, if you know who that is, the legendary bass player and backup vocalist, I guess we would say, from ZZ Top, Dusty Hill, is dead at the age of 72. That is such a sad thing to hear. Obviously, a long, successful life for Dusty. I saw ZZ Top on that 50th anniversary tour, and they were still rocking it out. But the Texas boys themselves, ZZ Top, I've made a name for themselves back in the day. They go all the way back to the 60s and, of course, into the 70s, the big run in the 80s. And I don't know anybody that's been to a ZZ Top show that didn't have a good report. They always put on a great show. And I don't know if this means it's over, Trey, for ZZ Top, but I can only imagine what Beard and Gibbons are going through today. That's the three-piece. There aren't many legendary, iconic three pieces through the years, but ZZ Top was one of them, and I don't know what this means for the band, but rest in peace to the great Dusty Hill, one of the beards, one of the big, long, iconic beards of ZZ Top. Man, that's sad.
Yeah, that is a good question. Do they perform anymore? I'm assuming they will from time to time, and they'll be pretty selective of who ends up standing alongside them on stage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it'll be. It's band to band, I guess, depending on what kind of impact it has. Again, when it's a three, when it's a three-legged stool, if you will, and you take one of those legs away, kind of hard to stand up. Those mm-hmm. two, the other two guys are very talented, and it's a hell of a band. But man, when you lose something like that, it's going to be tough. So definitely thoughts and prayers and best musical wishes going out to the ZZ Top family today. So many people in this state love that band. So if you hear LaGrange and Tush and Sharp Dressed Man and all that stuff fire up the next day or so, you will know why. My goodness. All right. So a lot of stuff going on today in terms of, yes, we're still getting ready for football. And there's this the Simone Biles story. We'll get back into that. But the Texas and OU to the SEC story, not really a lot to report on any official front today. Yesterday was the request from Texas and Oklahoma. Tomorrow is the SEC getting together with the presidents and chancellors to maybe vote. But they've stressed on this, Trey, that they may not vote tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
Now, we don't know for sure if there's going to be a vote. They might just be talking about stuff. And speaking of talking about it, Board of Regents meeting again at A&M. They'll do it twice this week, once virtually. The face-to-face is today at about 4 o'clock. So just real quick, you asked me yesterday about what would I do? How would I vote if I'm A&M?
And I feel like you said you would vote no.
Ultimately, I said I think they're gonna vote no because of what was promised in the past,
right,
and they're not going to be able to get away from that. So I did the tease. Somebody said, oh, good God, first Chad talks about the N-word with Matt Campbell. Now he's talking about the R-word. I'm not talking about any evil R-word. I'm talking about realistic. I'm talking about realism. And it's an R-word that ties in for me to the House divided rivalry. Sometimes Longhorn fans, I think, can be too realistic. But a lot of times, my Aggie brothers and sisters are not realistic enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think realism is what they're going to ultimately need here. So the theme of all of this has been, from the beginning, things change. Those two simple words. That's what I would tell the Aggies to really lean on in these discussions. Really think it through. If you have living, breathing, actual current members of the SEC that have told you, you get to be the only team in the state of Texas, we're never going to want the Longhorns, don't worry. That is a different issue. than what I'm about to get to. If that has happened, if Greg Sankey shook your hand and looked you dead in the eye and said, dude, we're not going after Texas. What are you talking about? We're 9 years into this. You guys just finished top five. We are fine. If that's the case, then I would say feel free to vote yes. I mean, excuse me, vote no. Feel free to vote no and say, look, we're just trying to preserve what we've got here. And our whole thing has been we want to figure out life without them. But, Trey, if they are basing this and if they're basing their thoughts, their anger, and their issues on what they believe that a now dead man told a guy in a bow tie that is no longer associated with your university, that's where, to me, you have to back up and be realistic and think, okay, things change. If the old boss promised you the promotion and then gets hit by a bus, the next day you can't walk into the office and say, how about that promotion? Is it on the books? Got to be prepared for it not to be. You got to be prepared for that change. My people aren't exactly pre-programmed for change. It's not exactly what we're all about in College Station.
Mm-hmm.
They focus in, they grind in, they like to get in a groove and go. So I would say, based on all of that, assuming that that's what it's about, if you don't have something from a living person in the SEC, that's where I would be realistic, understand that it's about money, understand that it's about the business side of things and where it's all going. Convince yourself however you want to. Texas finally realized how great the conference was. Texas finally admitted this is where the real boys play. Whatever you need to tell yourself, but ultimately, I think the yes vote is what makes sense, because then on the back side of it, Trey, the Aggies could also say, hell yeah, we voted yes. Welcome in and let's play.
Well, I'm glad you agree with what I said yesterday, Chad, because I said you guys should vote yes yesterday.
You did. You did. And I was driving home, it hit me of just, again, I may have been being a little unrealistic about it in my own regard.
By the way, real quick, part of me said that you guys should vote yes is because that's the direction it felt like it was trending, based on where y'all were when the news broke last week and for a couple days afterwards versus a very blatant pivot over the weekend where somebody had either spoken with you from the commissioner's office, the conference commissioner's office, from Sankey's office, or you would just realize it doesn't do us any good to continue to grovel about this. We've said our piece,
right,
and now we're going to open our arms and say, yeah, you guys bring it. We're ready for you.
Because you have to understand that, again, things change. What was important to your bosses back then isn't important to them anymore. Because they, according to Arbo and Lofton back then, they said, we've got the Texas market. We're good. We don't need Texas. We've got the Texas market. Okay, that was that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if this is your boss, essentially, the SEC telling you what's changed, essentially. Things have changed. If you have the issue, it's your issue, mm-hmm, as Texas A&M. If you've been thinking this whole time, well, we get to be the only team in the state of Texas, that's not written down anywhere. Nobody dictated that. Certainly no one in this SEC has dictated that to you unless you can prove they did. And then at that point, if you want to throw the protest up on that and vote no, I totally get it. Otherwise, you got to move past all that stuff. Don't go back to 2010 to make your argument and 2011 and say, well, they promised the guy in the bow tie. That's not going to come off well.
Yeah.
That's not going to come off well.
Yeah, you can't live too much in the past. And continuing to dwell on it would be that. And it would also be a lack of recognition of what's going on in modern times. And for A&M, as much as upsetting as it is that you were trying to escape Texas and Oklahoma by making the move to the SEC, you do have to understand that with the way that things are changing, you're setting yourself up for more success. If you can continue going in the right direction, you know, after the initially you guys were actually better than anybody expected because of Manziel, but after most of the decade struggling, last year you had it figured out. And it does seem like Jimbo Fisher, mm-hmm, has this thing ready to really get going, to truly compete with the other schools in this conference, maybe with the exception of Alabama, but nobody competes with Alabama.
Bottom line, getting away from Texas was the part of the Aggies' focus to go to the SEC. It was not part of the SEC's focus.
True.
That is not why they did what they did.
Very true.
They had different reasons to do it. So I think that should be considered in this discussion. We'll see. We'll see if it's a 14-0 vote. The most fascinating thing to me would not be 14-0 or 13-1. It would be any other combination. That's a story. If it's 13-1, we all know what happened. If it's 14-0, we all know what happened. But, Trey, I want to know what happened. What does it mean if it's – I mean, I know – if it's 11-3, I'd love to hear that story. What was it? And then if it's 11-3 and one of them's not A&M, we really got a story. But that's a whole nother issue. But if it ends up being like an 11-3 or a 12-2, I think that's when we'll have some wild story about, wait, who voted against it?
If it's 10-4, I'm probably calling in sick on Friday.
That's fair. That is absolutely fair. All right, you might decide to walk away mid-competition at that point if that happened.
No, there's no competition, unfortunately. I'm just walking away in a very pouting manner because things didn't go my way.
Lots of things going on today. In addition to that story, and somebody just referred to me as a level-headed Aggie. I appreciate that. Why'd you put that in quotes? Like it doesn't exist. What are you talking about? You're calling me a level-headed Aggie? Don't put it in quotes.
Maybe he's quoting me and what I say at the beginning of every show.
Oh, that's right. Maybe that's what it is. Okay, fair enough. That's good. You're quoting Trey. You should always quote greatness. All right, so the Simone Biles story continues. Trey, are you telling me there might be an update and she might be out of the whole thing?
I don't know. See, you said that there's another set of events next week. I had read that she had pulled out of the Olympics altogether, but I'm also questioning that because I feel like that was specifically referencing what happens tomorrow.
Okay, now, just to get a slightly technical on you, the event, when they're in there, it is called the Olympic All Around. Do you think you might have read the words all around and thought that meant she's getting out of everything?
I read that she has completely dropped out of the Olympics, but now I'm going to have to go in and Google search that while you talk.
Oh, man. I hope that is not the case. Maybe she'll be able to perform on those individual apparatuses or whatever it is. But it's a tough moment for Simone Biles. I hate that this happened to her and that she was forced in her mind to make this decision. There's a lot of discussion out there about the mental side of things and you know, is this quitting on your team and all those kind of deals. We're trying to have a discussion in the middle of the extremes today because...
Yeah, you're right. It's only withdrawing from the all-around competition.
Okay.
So there's still a chance for next week. But is anybody holding their breath about that right now?
Oh, I definitely wouldn't hold your breath. I wouldn't hold your breath because, Trey, this is a thing where how do you... I mean, this is a fragile thing when you're talking about an athlete's mental state. But specifically here, I'll go to the two judged events we all know in the Olympics. This and figure skating to me is such a fragile world. If they start to crack mentally and they can't, think about what they have to do, little bitty things, and these judges sit up there and pick apart every little thing. But she didn't get to that level. She was at like, I don't know what she would tell you, but that vault wasn't 60% Biles. That wasn't 20%. I don't know if she'd tell you that was even 10% of what she could give you. And over again in these Olympics, she just hasn't been able to get even close to a standard. And it just, I mean, her eyes told the whole story. She was terrified and saying things like, I don't trust myself right now. And no matter what was coming next, that's a dangerous thing. If it was balance beam, that would have been dangerous. Floor's got its own challenges. She was about to put those things on her wrists and fingers and do the bars. Those uneven bars, and they're flying. She's not trusting herself there. I'm not going to get too freaked out and say, she could have broken her neck. Yeah, she could have. She
could have. I got you. That's worst case scenario.
She could have. A lot of athletes could break their neck when they're doing what they're doing. I get it. But when she just, it was all hitting her at the same time. I'm sure she only had a certain amount of time to make that choice before she was required to be at the next, before the next rotation would happen. So it is so tough. I can't believe it happened to her. But then again, Trey, we've watched it in other sports. We've watched some of the best of all time admit they've dealt with these kind of things. Michael Phelps had his thing. If you haven't seen that documentary about Olympic athletes, it's incredible. He talks about depression and stuff that he's gone through, where if you'd had the Olympics at a certain time, Michael Phelps might not have competed. He might have said, I can't deal with it, but he was able to, you know, space it out right and figure things out and whatever. So with her, it's just the timing of it was so horrific for what she was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And in this age, she is going to get too much negative reaction on the other side. It's just going to happen. I hate that for her. The reaction she'll get because she's female is maybe real. The reaction she'll get because she's a black female might be real. I don't like any of that, but it's probably going to happen.
Well, I think she's getting a lot more support than she is criticism.
And I think she is getting a lot of support. Now, the key thing,
her sponsors have come forward, and they all support her. They all say that they are fully behind Simone Biles and the decision that she made.
Much like the Osaka story, it does feel like there's a lot of support within her peers. And her, most importantly, her teammates did not think of it as she's deserting them. None of them have gone down that road.
So I'm glad you mentioned Osaka, because that is obviously a recent example that we have to pull from here. And less recent, but I think still relevant, because I've read some articles that are comparing it to this. She essentially has the gymnastic yips right now. But unlike Chuck Knobloch or Rick Ankiel to a lesser degree, because not knowing where the baseball is going, if you're throwing it close to 100 miles per hour, can't injure an individual. The gymnastics yips, the margin for error and what happens if you do make a mistake, it can be catastrophic. Yeah, the worst-case scenario is breaking your neck or even worse, death. I think that does provide a little bit of a separation. It makes it a bit of an apples versus bananas comparison. Now, where it starts becoming a bit of an issue for me, Chad, is when we being in sports radio, we being the general public who has an opinion on this one way or the other, when we start using these really big words that we are so guilty of using in sports and then also in life to a lesser degree, just when describing things in general, and we're starting to describe her decision as heroic or brave or calling her a hero, I have no doubt that she acted in her own best interest, and I think I've been talked into believing that she acted in the best interest of the team as well,
yeah,
helping
me too.
The team to try and
I think that's the case,
finish
yeah.
as well as possible.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was brave or courageous, though.
No, that to me is a little bit too far, but that's where it's semantics. Like, on one side,
see, it's not semantic to me, because you further diminish the value of those words. You turn them into cliches more than something that actually does mean what hero or brave or heroic or bravery, you know, however you want to use those words, they lose their value that much more. But then again, it's not like this is the straw that breaks the camel's back here. There are too many people that use those words in way too many circumstances. Another example is war. Talking about war when we're talking about two teams battling it out on the field. Like, war involves death. Nobody's dying in most sporting events, hopefully.
I just think it becomes a semantic discussion to me when it's about the impact on certain words with certain people. There are people in this discussion that don't like the word quit. Somebody texted us earlier, they didn't like the word quit, because to them, you know, she stopped competing. Yes, she chose not to compete. They didn't like the idea of quit because in their mind, isn't this the same thing as if she broke her leg in competition? Do we need to be looking at the mental side like we look at the physical side? So there's that discussion. But then on the other side, for people that have dealt with situations of amazing bravery and courage and all those things, when they hear those words, they might think, well, wait a minute, hold on, brave, courageous. She made a choice that was right for her. It had to be a tough choice. Just because it was tough doesn't make it brave. I think it's just about breaking down words at some point, and we probably all need to not flip out too much with a magnifying glass on a particular word. But there's a lot here, and it should make us just ask those questions about if an athlete decides that this is a situation, middle of a competition, is it similar? Should it be looked at the same as if they realize, I pop my ACL, or I guess if you pop your ACL, you can't walk. But you know what I mean? If there's a hamstring, a calf injury, whatever it is, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, if I keep going, I'm going to do more damage to me, to maybe the team, whatever it is. I think I need to stop here.
I think the answer is no, because Simone Biles herself was asked about that. She was asked if she was injured, physically injured, and she said no.
That's true.
She said that her ego is injured.
Yeah.
See, the other reason why I think that my response is shifting a little bit versus where it was yesterday is because I think we're still trying to unpack what happened with Naomi Osaka, and obviously those parallels are being made because of mental health issues, but I actually think that these are two very different situations too, because Naomi Osaka, her physical health was not on the line for her experiencing some anxiety or depression or whatever else was going on with her socially that caused her to want to drop out of two different Grand Slams, including one that was going on in the moment with the French Open. For Simone Biles, being off mentally really could have been the difference between her doing the most basic of skills and going through her different routines and being healthy versus popping a knee or an ankle or something else.
Right. The biggest difference, I guess, would be we don't yet know the stimulus for Simone's issue. We know what the stimulus is for Osaka. She's admitted it. It's about the interaction with the media and having to deal with that and having to talk about the matches and just the...
And again, her sister posted right after she withdraws that she got tired of hearing that she sucked on clay.
Right.
And then that got taken down and her sister had to apologize, but her sister perhaps shined an interesting light on what was going on there.
Yeah.
Maybe she just grew tired of it, knowing that she was about to have a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover come out, knowing that she was about to have her own Barbie doll, and also knowing that a Netflix documentary about her was also about to come out, so where she could take a little bit of a break, and it wasn't going to cut too badly into her bank account.
If you have thoughts on it, let us know. 337-3776. The Specs text line is there for you. The Simone Biles story getting a lot of attention around the world of sports. Up next, why July 28th matters. A little bit of hamburger and maybe a trip to the water park. And then later, it's stems and seeds, including what NFL coach is shocked that more of his players didn't get vaccinated yet. On the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town about the Shaq outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're gonna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Man, I wish we weren't playing this song in a way. We weren't planning on playing The Grange. Not that that's a bad song to play. It's a good song to play. But there's not a happy reason to play it today. Dusty Hill of ZZ Top is dead at the age of 72. Man, that sucks. Fire up some ZZ Top today. Grab yourself some your favorite ZZ Top record and pour one out for Mr. Dusty Hill, one of the iconic bearded men in ZZ Top. That one sucks today. Chad and Trey with you on this Wednesday. A lot of different thoughts coming in on the Simone Biles story. I think it is pretty clear now, whether you're a gymnastics fan or not, that based on point system, based on the way they do that sport, based on the way it works, you can't make the argument about if she just stayed in and half-assed it, they could have still won gold. That apparently is not true. That is not what gymnastics people would tell you. They were
no. It's less about them winning gold at that point versus her just getting through the end of the competition.
Right. But had she done that, also based on the scoring and the way I'm understanding it, she could have been putting that silver medal in danger. She could have,
or she could have helped them win a silver medal.
True, but I think based on the scoring system, I think there was a better chance that if she kept doing that at that level, that bronze might have been the best they could have hoped for at that point. They might have fallen out. So,
it's a funny hypothetical, and the likelihood is that, yes, she would have continued performing poorly, but we will never know now.
No, we won't. I hate that it happened to her, man. The biggest moment there to have it all just go away and you can't. You know, you talked about the whole yips and things, and this turns into a almost like a mental yips kind of discussion. But to have it to have it all betray you like that had to be tough. Had to be tough to deal with. And we'll see if she can compete on the individual stuff come next week. So we got that out there. There's also, of course, the story of Texas and Oklahoma and the trip to the SEC probably coming. Just needs to be made official by the SEC. They'll meet tomorrow. Aggies and a Board of Regents meeting today. Pretty quiet on the Longhorn front in terms of that stuff goes, although some videos and memes and stuff keep rolling around. One with Bradley Cooper in it today that a lot of people are liking. But let's give you a little July 28th. Why today matters, Trey?
Why today matters.
It matters because we're almost done with July and we're 38 days away from Texas football and September 4th and all those other big games. We also have a couple things that are easy to talk about, Trey, and you can combine them if you pick the right water park. National Hamburger Day and Water Park Day hit on the same day.
I like water parks. Ooh, I don't know if I still like water parks more than I do hamburgers. I like them both, Chad.
I definitely like water parks better than I like amusement parks because roller coasters sometimes make me ill, so I'd rather be at a water park.
Yeah, it feels like with our old man bodies, a water park would be a little bit easier on that.
Yeah,
no
doubt.
The water slide much easier than the roller coaster that's rattling around.
Now, I got to spend a decent amount of money on the old sunscreen, but again, that's where the swim shirt comes in handy. I know it's dorky. But it really saves me on a lot of, because also I have to do the thing and put the stuff on, and did I get my shoulders, and did I get the back, and then I forget to reapply. So just wearing the shirt helps out. Plus, guaranteed that no strange woman will flirt with me. My wife loves it. My wife considers it a security system for her marriage.
That is true, especially when you put the hat on, too.
Oh, the hat and the shirt. Are you
kidding? And the zinc oxide on the nose. Yeah, it's just the trifecta of woman repellent there.
My wife and kid barely want to see me, much less some strange woman.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to a water park. I think the last one would have been Schlitterbahn, and that was a number of years ago now. But yep. I was always a big fan of the water park. I like burgers, too, though. Bigger fan of the griddle burger than a really thick burger. Like the thin burger, mm-hmm. You can double up the patties if you really need more meat.
It's good.
And I think it keeps the burger mouth size when you do it that way versus getting a really thick patty and you still have to put everything else on top of that too. It just becomes something that you're having to eat with a fork and knife.
But on the other side of it, I think you and I can agree on what the greatest big burger is in this town because you introduced me to it.
The Casino El Camino.
If you're going big burger, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Do they go 3/4 of a pound on that thing? Or is it 2/3?
I think it's 2/3, but it's been a minute.
It's big. It is so big. I agree with you in general, though. That thinner patty can be very good. So get your favorite hamburger today. Last time I was out at Hayes City Store, I did the bacon jam burger. It's exquisite. It is
we still
exquisite.
Have to do that dinner, by the way.
We do.
That and the other dinner.
I'm thinking, because what we've the bet at Hayes City Store is pizza and beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm seriously considering the pizza they have that has the bacon jam on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What else is on that pizza?
I don't even care. Like, I think rocks and bugs, but I think it's going to be awesome. No, I'm not exactly sure what else. It's called the bacon jam pizza, though, I think. So I can't remember exactly what else is on there, but I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. And I'm curious.
I've seen one from a distance. The last time I was out there, I saw this guy eating one at the next table. And Sacramento's wife had a veggie pizza. I would not go that far. But she had one, and it looked really good if you're into veggie pizza. She said it was awesome.
We may have to trade a slice because Justine and I always love ordering our pizza. We call it the TJ Special. When we go to a place that allows you to modify a pizza, but I'd be curious to try some of the bacon jam pizza,
too. Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, no, we got to do that. Hayes City Store has great stuff all around, including those burgers. They're incredible.
It's also Milk Chocolate Day, Chad, which I'm a bigger fan of dark chocolate if I'm just consuming chocolate by itself, but I understand Milk Chocolate's place. Milk Chocolate is half of the wonderful combination that is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and Milk Chocolate is the best chocolate chip to use in a world-class chocolate chip cookie.
Totally agree with both of those items. Also, you throw in things like, I mean, the legends, right? Kit Kats and Twix and Snickers. I had a Snickers this week. I hadn't had a Snickers in probably 2 years at least. I just felt like a Snickers. Made me think of my granddad because he was the Snickers guy. He used to have like half a Snickers bar right here on the corner of his mouth. He didn't know it was there.
Mm-hmm.
My face is going to go dead, by the way, at some point. You need to let me know when it starts to happen because my dad does it too. Half of my dad's meal will just be on his face somewhere. He doesn't know it.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, this is going to be me. My face is going to lose sensation at some point because my granddad used to do that. But I digress. The Snickers the Snickers bar is phenomenal usage of milk chocolate.
Who does that also? My kids. So I guess that's an old person and little kid thing.
Yeah, and those two groups are okay to do that, but I'm scared that it's going to start happening to me before that time, before I get truly old.
I've been eating more Snickers over the last couple of years, and this is definitely perpetuated by having kids because our Halloween candy, the amount of candy that they get each year in the neighborhood, it lasts us for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get a bunch of those Snickers minis.
Yeah, the fun size.
And it's nice because it's a bite size. And if you're really craving a little bit more, you can grab another bite size. And you haven't eaten an entire candy bar at that point. So you walk away feeling a little bit better about yourself.
I guarantee you, fun size was the second best idea they had for what to call those. And they just didn't want to call it dangerous size because that's what it should be.
Dangerous size.
They're dangerous. At that size. A Snickers bar regular size is not near as dangerous as that fun size. Because I'm with you. It happens around Halloween, but I'll look up and see like four or five of those fun size wrappers on the table and realize you probably just ate like 2.5 real Snickers bars, dude.
See, I would consider the king size to be the dangerous size, but then again, apparently the other name that they were considering for the king size Snickers was the Austrian horseshoe.
That's well done. Well done from where we at in society. One of the best versions of that today. If you didn't hear about our new favorite hero in Russia, you need to go back and check that out at the end of hour number two. HornFM.com. Podcasted stuff will go up. By the way, I did not do it last night. I apologize. But I will get our discussion with Jeff Ward separated, our discussion with Bobby Burton separated, and put on our page at HornFM.com, the Shirts and Skins page. You can always check out HornFM.com for all the interviews you might have missed. Our man Stu going over to Moody Center yesterday to see that. Moody Center? Moody Arena. Moody Center.
I don't know.
Think is what they're calling it?
Well, there's another Moody Arena or Center that's opening up in Waterloo Park coming up in August. Yeah, Gary Clark Jr. is going to play the first two shows
there. Oh, okay. So they raised the beam at the new basketball facility yesterday. You can check out the event there, video and pictures that Stu put together at hornfm.com. All right, coming up, stems and seeds. We got some stuff in the NFL, including, for some reason, one particular team that just decided not to get vaccinated for the most part. We'll tell you who they are on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Oh, man, what a song. Good choice. I'm just saying it to Brad Kellner.
If he just came in accusing you of killing.
First off, Brad came in and said, did you say anything bad about ZZ Top? I said, absolutely not. This one's not on me. Dusty Hill, dead at the age of 72, if you missed the story today. But I said to him, if all you know is the Eliminator stuff, you are missing a blues band. If you love the blues and you think all they are is give me all your lovin' and legs, go listen to some of the other stuff. This is one of my favorite just straight-up blues songs of theirs. And, dude, this song live at Coda, it gives me chills just saying it. But that was so good that night. Might have been the best song they played all night.
Mm.
It was so good. They played Jesus Just Left Chicago. And they're so comfortable as a blues band on stage. It was like 50th anniversary tour, but they were making a statement. Mm-hmm. We are a blues band at our core. If you don't like it, go get an overpriced drink. We are going to do this. And the crowd loved it, man. They had a great crowd. They were all into it. Rest in peace to Dusty Hill, man. That sucks.
You know I'm a big fan of that song, Drink Up.
Oh, of course. You got the Chicago there?
I did not find that song until I was in Chicago either.
Nice. One of these days, I need a power ranking from you, like top five songs with the word Chicago in the title. That's what I need from you.
It's a good list.
In fact, I'll give you 2 days. Friday. That's your project for Friday.
I can play all Chicago-inspired song. I'll have a top six, and we'll go 6-1.
Okay.
Coming out of the commercial breaks.
Beautiful. There we go. We
got. I hope I remember this between now and Friday.
We got our theme. Oh, I'm reminding you now. I'm going to text you Thursday night. Make you remember.
Please do. I do need that reminder.
We're both old now. We got to remind each other. All right, let's go stems and seeds because there's a coach in the NFL that's mad.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. The coach's name is Ron Rivera. Despite the fact that the NFL as a whole says 85% of their guys are vaccinated, that's one shot, by the way, of one of the two shots when it's required to, 14 teams in the league say they're over 90% vaccinated. Trey, for some reason, the Washington football team is right around 50%.
That's really not surprising, is it? Of any franchise?
This doesn't surprise you?
Dan Schneider's franchise, yes. That surprises me the least.
So Ron Rivera is saying he's really disappointed. He feels like he needs to wear masks in certain situations because he is immunocompromised.
Immunocompromised, yes.
He's immunocompromised. The man has fought cancer, a form of cancer. He's beaten it, but obviously he's affected by that now. He's got to watch himself, and it's a little crazy. Also, Trey, when you have one of the players, TJ Ward, get on social media and say, among other things, this may be one of the dumbest things ever tweeted. Get ready. Quote, don't blame the players for your lifelong health decisions. End quote. The man got cancer. It wasn't lung cancer from smoking 9 packs a day, in case you don't remember, TJ. So he's had to back that off. He's apologized, and he said, look, I understand about cancer, and I'm sorry. And okay,
what was the cancer that he got?
He had, what is it? It was a...
Was it lymphoma?
I think it was like a form of Hodgkin's lymphoma, some kind of lymphoma. I believe is what he had, or possibly leukemia. It's one of those two, I think, with Ron Rivera. So now we'll see where all of that goes. You also have Lamar Jackson testing positive for COVID. Then they had multiple negative tests, but then he tested positive. So they've got to kind of look into that, I guess. He had COVID back in November. Now he may have tested positive again. If Lamar Jackson has not gotten vaccinated, I don't know.
And
maybe take a look.
I'm going out on a very sturdy limb based on the fact that he's apparently been tested 5 times in 5 days. He's not vaccinated right now.
And that's good detective work on your part. I think you're right. Because if he was vaccinated, they'd give him a little break, right?
He's vaccinated. They're not testing him at all.
Maybe once a week. It would be stretched out minimum. If not, I don't know if it's none, but it's a lot less.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Great point. All right, coming up, you got the triple option with RBKD minus the RB part because Rod is off getting married. Best of luck to that crazy couple. 7 to 9 tonight when they are done. It's a two-hour version of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling right here on the station. All right, coming up, you got RBKD coming, and we'll be back tomorrow for a Thursday show. See ya!